There's more of them than there are of us. The pasuk in Tehillim, Alisa Lamakam Shavisa Shevi, Lakachta Matanis LaAdam, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Tes brings it down, talking about Ma'an Torah. The Arizal is Megala Remez in the pasuk of Shavisa Shevi. Shevi is Reshit Havis Shimon Bar Yochai. Is if the pasuk is saying that the prize that Moshe Rabbeinu got away with by Matan Torah, Shimon Bar Yochai. Obviously, he means in connection with the Zayir of Shimon Bar Yochai. The Zayir is a collection of the Torah of Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Arizal is saying that that's what this pasuk is referring to. V'derech Remez. There's also another seasonal remez. The pasuk in Tehillim, Gal Inay, David HaMelech is Mespal, Gal Inay Ve'abidin Nefelois Mitayrasecha. Open my eyes, reveal my eyes, allow my eyes, revelation, Ve'abidin Nefelois, and I will behold Nefelois Mitayrasecha. So in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it says that Nefelois is the Pelois of Nun, of the 50th Shar, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Chaval, that says that there are 50 Sharim and 49 were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and at the Chasreim Atmei Elikim, the 50th Shar, which the Ramban and his Akdama describes as being the Shar of Chachma Elikus, and Nun Niflois is the Pelois of the 50th Shar, Gal Einai, Gal is Lashon Lama Gimel, Lag Boimer, that there's a Shaiches with on Lag Boimer of aspiring to Sisrei Torah, of exploring Sisrei Torah. So, even though there's generally a rule that every Maggid Shir should adhere to, and the rule is that you should not give Shir on things that you know nothing about, but since it's Lag Boimer, so whatever, it's the Lag Boimer season, so we'll talk a little bit about, we're not really gonna do any real Sisrei Torah, because you would need somebody else for that. But to talk about at least what it means, this Yom Tif is a Yom Tif of Sisrei Torah. There's no question that segment of Klal Yisrael that makes a big deal about Lag Ba'omer, that's what it's about. It's because Lag Ba'omer is associated with Shem Reicher. Arizal says that it's the Yom Dehilula, that's the yard side of Shem Reicher. There's also a Maseira that it's the anniversary of the day of the time that he was Megala, the Sisrei Torah that are collected in the Sefer HaZayar. So it's definitely a celebration of the Chashivas of Sisrei Torah. What does this refer to? So first, on an elementary level, what is that? What's the taish? What's the definition of Sisrei Torah? What do we mean when we refer to Sisrei Torah? So the Ramban, some is the Pashup Pshat, but the Ramban, at the beginning of Bereishis, gives us a little background, a little explanation, a definition of what this means. The Ramban is on the very first Pasuk, where the Ramban, he starts up by bringing down the Rashi, the opening Rashi in Chumash, Amar Bisak, Lahir Terah, Lahatzchel, Mechadish Zalachem. Terah really could have started with the Chadish Zalachem, why did it have to start with Bereishis? And the Ramban says, what kind of question is that? If you don't have Bereishis, you don't have the Ikki Yisrael of Kol Torah Kula, that there's a Bayre. Without Bereishis, one could believe in Kadmas Ha'ilam, that there was always a world. So how could the Rusak ask, like, we only need the Mitzvahs, we don't need Amunah, Bereishis, the Iker of all of our Amunah. So the Ramban gives a Teretz. This is not really the Inyan of our Shir, but I'm going to read to you a few lines of the Ramban's Teretz, because Mitoich Dvarav, there is something negated to the Inyan of our Shir. That Shuvi, he says, the outside, what he says is that really what Rabbi Yitzchak means, is not that we could have just left out the whole Inyan of Briyas Olam, but it didn't need to go into it in detail. It didn't need to say first day, second day, third day. It could have just said, Kishesh Shemar, Hashem, Hashemai, Vesaretz, Vayanach, Vayim, Hashvi, and that would really be enough. The way he phrases it is as follows. V'hatshuva mepnei shemaisa bereishis soid amok in a movement of a Christ. Maisa bereishis is a deep secret, can't be in any way can't be understood from the Pesukim. The only way that you'll understand it clearly is if you have a Kabbalah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And those that have that Kabbalah, those that know it, have to maintain its secrecy, have to conceal it.
So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak asked the kasha, why did the Torah have to bother with the whole sipur, man should never be a merishan, man has to be a masheni, and the Yitzirah Adam v'chava, v'chetam v'ansham, ki kol ze layuvan bina shlemim and aksuvim, you're anyway not going to understand it from the psukim. V'yaspik la'anshe a terrible ade aksuvim ha'ela. For the nation as a whole that's supposed to have a Torah, we could have done without these psukim. V'yaminu b'klal, they'll have an amuna in the general rule. What was mentioned this as a divorce? Kisheshim Hashem as Shemayim as Eretz as Yom as Kol Shabbam and Achmayim as Shvi. V'tishoyer hayedia liyechidim shabahem, and the specifics, the knowledge of the specifics will be just for those yechidim. Halachal Moshe Misinai im haTorah shabal peh. So what the, and therefore Rabbi Yitzchak's kasha is, why did the Torah have to bother speaking out these psukim, since we're anyway not going to fully understand it from here? But what I gathered from the Ramban here is that there is a Torah Shabal Peh that was Nimser to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, what we call Chochmas HaNister. The Chochmas HaNister, the Zayar, the Kabbalah, whatever term you want to use, the Ramban never uses the word Kabbalah. Apparently that term only came a little bit after his time. But he calls it the Derech HaEmes, he sometimes calls it the Teiras Chain, Chain referring to Chochmas Nisteris or Chochmas HaNister. But this Teres and this Zok Ramban was given at Har Sinai. It's Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. It's part of Teres Shabal Peh. But Teres Shabal Peh is divided in two. The Teres Shabal Peh that was Nigla, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to give over to everybody. That's the Eilam Mishpat, Moshe Tassim L'Fneihem, the Shemek Shulchan Aruch L'Fneihem, that he taught to Aaron, to Labanov, to the Zakenim, to the Yisrael, right? They had this rotation. Everybody learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu. His job was Rabbeinu. It was that each Yid should be a Talmud Chacham. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's job in the Teres HaNigla. There was also a Teres Shabal Peh. That was also a Halacha Moshe MiSinai in the Teres HaNister, which Yodiv Chayav Mahaster, I say. That's supposed to be concealed. That Moshe Rabbeinu shared, presumably with Yeshua, with Zakenim, we don't know who, but the idea is that he was supposed to share it with Yechidim. And those Yechidim were supposed to share it in turn with Yechidim, and it was supposed to be Nimser through all the Deiros from Yechidim to Yechidim, meaning Rebbeim that had this Maseirah were supposed to share it with those that they felt were Ro'i L'kach, could be trusted, were worthy, and that's the way it was passed down. But it was what they were passing down was Halacha Moshe MiSinai. It was, I mean, what I mean la'afuki from is that it was not something that developed in the Tekufas HaTanayim, or as some people would even say, things that developed in the Tekufas HaRishayim and Tzvar. The Teres HaNister, the Ramban tells us, is a chelik of the Teres. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, but it was given with special instructions. There was one more line of the Ramban where he speaks this out. There's a famous, very famous part of the Ramban's Hakdama where he says, he talks about how Kol Torah Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that really the whole term from Bereishis Ad La'ini Kol Yisrael is really Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he writes, Shehatayra Haksuv Be'ish Shcheir Al Gabi Eish Levana, the Torah as it was written, the way Chazal described the black fire upon the white fire, was written Ksiva Ritzufa, Beli Hefsek Tevais, without any breaks for words, meaning it's just a string of letters. And so therefore there's multiple ways of reading it. V'nidna l'Moshe Rabbeinu al derech chiluk kriyas ha-mitzvah. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning it was handed to him, al derech chiluk kriyas ha-mitzvah, with the words divided up in the way that it yields the mitzvahs, the Tariag mitzvahs, the Torah as we know it. And it was given to him balpeh, other ways of reading it, so that it's all Shemais V'Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the Ramban is telling us that what we call Teres HaNistar is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, part of Teres Balpeh, but Yodiv Chayav L'Mahaster, I say. Now, that obviously has changed sometime between his day and our day. Nowadays, it's no longer as Nister as it used to be. It's fascinating. We have a Ramban open to, you know, looking at the Ramban in particular, he was really right at the sort of at the transition, at the crossroads of that. The Ramban, you know, the Zohar became this Gala I don't know if anybody knows the real date exactly, but it was late 1200s. The Rambam was Nifter in the year 1270. So I think probably after he died, maybe a little before he died, but in the Ramban's lifetime, the Zayar was meaning Teres HaNister was not being taught in public. The Ramban learned it in the yeshiva, like in a clandestine yeshiva of you know, yechidim, that there were rebbeim. The yeshiva was headed by a pair of brothers, Reb Ezra and Reb Israel, and they had a very select group of talmidim. The Ramban was a talmid in that yeshiva. He was part of the chabura, and they learned Teres HaNister. And the Ramban wrote a Pirush al HaTorah in which he incorporated a lot of Teres HaNister. But he writes, there's an unbelievable paragraph at the end of his Akdama where the Ramban wrote a Pirush al HaTorah, which was really a very controversial publication, because as I said, the Ramban was sort of part of this process. The Zohar was Nisgala, let's say maybe 10, 20 years after he died. But he also was a little bit of he was a part of the process of Chochmas HaNister becoming more widespread, because his Pirush al HaTorah is really the first sefer that we have, which was a sefer that was intended for the masses, and yet it includes Sefer Torah. But the Ramban had a very creative way of straddling that line. On the one hand, he's writing a sefer for the masses, he's including Sisrei Torah, but he's a big believer in Yodav Chayavim Lahastir. I say the Sisrei Torah is supposed to stay b'seser. The Ramban wrote it, and he put a warning on the cover. There's a paragraph at the end of the Hakdama, Va'ata da ure'e ma'ashev shayalei davar b'ksivis perushei ha'Torah. People will ask me, what am I doing this for? What's my goal in writing this pirush? So he says, "Esnai kaminik harishenim lahaniach das hatalmidim yigiyei hagolus vahatzareis hakirim beseder b'shabbosus umayadim." My purpose is that Yidden, they work hard a whole week. Shabbos, they have a little bit of time to learn. I want to give them a sefer to learn on the parasha of v'lim sheikh libam b'pshatim b'ksas dvarim ni'imim. I want to give them nice pshatim that they can learn. B'ksas dvarim ni'imim, some nice vertlich, even though we don't really think of the Ramban as what we would nowadays call vertlich, but pshatim on the parsha, like a nice vert to say over at the Shabbos table. L'shemim uliyedim chen. But for shemim, meaning people that are on the inside, a yedim chen, that know the Chochmas HaNister, I'm going to add something else. But I'm making a deal with you, and it's not only it's an instruction, and it's also an advice. That if you're opening this book, you're doing it with the understanding, with the agreement that you're not going to think about the Ramazim that I write on the Sisrei Torah. Because I assure you that you'll never get it right just by thinking about it. You'll only understand it if you have a Kabbalah, I mean Kabbalah with a small K, you know, if you have a Maseira. Thinking about it, he says poetically, is only going to do harm and not any good. So he's saying, basically, that he's writing a sefer, and there's something here for everybody. If you're a Pashto Yid, then you should learn the Pshatim, the Dvarim, the Imim, when you have some time off on Shabbos, you'll learn the Parsha with my sefer. Good. And then there are parts that seem deep and mysterious. You have to skip those parts. And if you have a Maseira in Kabbalah, then you can learn those parts, and you'll understand on a deeper level what I meant. So the Ramban was still working with that system of it's a part of Torah Shabbat Peh, which is Nister and Yodim Chayvim Lahastir, I say. But then, like I said, things changed very rapidly. Again, maybe the Ramban himself was somewhat responsible for that because he Lamaisa put it into such a sefer. But things changed very rapidly. The end of the 1200s, within a few years after he was Nifter, the Zohar became Niskala, and then over the coming centuries it became extremely widespread, to the point that it was a standard part of any Talmud Chacham's Limud HaTorah was learning Torah Sanistar. And then Bervois HaYamim, as time went on, a further development was that the lines between what's Nistar and what's not become kind of blurred, and a lot of ideas that really have their makar in Torah Sanistar have become so widespread, so mainstream, that nobody has a problem saying over Dvar Torah using those musagim that were once considered top secret classified information, and now they, you know, people say over lots of Torah that employs the, you know, people non-mukubal, people like us, you know, say over Dvar Torah on the Parsha, Shmuz, on Shabbos, that uses inyanim that were once thought of as being very Kabbalistic inyanim. So one example of this, I once talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to go into it with some more makayres. So we came across an example of this in what people nowadays call Gilgal, transmigration, this reincarnation of the soul. The idea that a neshama could belong to two different people. So I want to start by, since we're learning Eilu Metzias, so where does this come from, Eilu Metzias? So a few days ago, or a week or two ago, we were all learning the sugya of that Rabbi Yitzchak says, Adam Asim L'mashish B'kisei B'kol Shah. So I shared with my shir that there's a story told in the biography of the Chazon Ish, that one time he was sitting with Talmidim, with the younger Talmidim Chachamim, and somebody asked him, you know, how could that be? Lamaisi, look around. I don't see people being mamash b'kisei kol shah. Could we really be samech on that nowadays? Incidentally, well, Yashiv Paskins that no, you can't. But the Chazon Ish said to this person that asked, could we really be samech on that nowadays? A person finds mois mufuzaris, he's allowed to keep it. Yish lemon das be paskin lo have a yish. And if he finds a mois mufuzaris, he's allowed to keep it because other asin mamash b'kisei kol shah. We know that people aren't being mamash b'kisei kol shah. So the Chazon Ish said that if Chazal say a halacha, then, you know, we accept that as a given. We're not mahar acharav. He used an expression, hefker base and hefker. Once Chazal say that's the halacha. It doesn't change. You're allowed to keep the money. And then it says in this book, in the Peradar, that one of the people that was present said, I wonder if we could shtel tzu the Baal Shem Tov, who said, and that which he said at the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim, Eilam Mishpatim Asher Tatzim Lefneihem, Eilam Mishpatim Ilin Milaya de Gulgalaya. That these are the Divrei Gilgal. What does Parshas Mishpatim have to do with Gilgal? Mishpatim is the most mundane part of the Torah. It's Shoshanogach HaSapara. What does this have to do with mystical things like reincarnation of the soul? So the Baal Shem Tov said that a mole person comes to a Din Torah, and the Rabbanim hear the two sides, and they paskin correctly based on the halacha that we have in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. But the Yid who is found chayav, he knows that it's not true. Meaning the mashal, Chazal have halacha of hamayitzim mechaver laparaya. So I know that if I come to Beis Din and I say I lent him money, but I don't have a shtar and I don't have eidim, Beis Din is going to paskin that I'm potter. So Beis Din is paskining, he doesn't have to pay, even though I know that really he's lying. I know that I lent him the money. So the Baal Shem Tov says that what are you supposed to make of that? The pshat is that, yeah, you lent him money, but in a prior Gilgal, he lent you money that you never paid back. And you couldn't get into Elam Haba without paying back that money. So the Eivishter brought it about that you should lend him money and come to Beis Din, and Beis Din should pass on Moitzim Chavar Elav Harayah so that he'll get his money back. Yilein Milaya de Gulgalaya. That's how the Baal Shem Tov explained that Zohar. So it says in this biography of the Chazon Ish that one of the Talmidim that was present said maybe we could shtel tzu this Baal Shem Tov, and the Chazon Ish says over there he smiled, he nodded, and then he elaborated a little bit. He said over whatever he was might a little bit more of a shtickle Torah to it, but he liked the vart, he liked the tzu shtel. So I read this And besides, for again, there's a lot of things that are interesting here. The psak was interesting, like I mentioned. Rabbi Eliyashiv was not like that. The fact that he was comfortable talking about the Baal Shem Tov, that somebody was super comfortable bringing that up with the Chazon Ish, that's all interesting. But besides for all that, what I found most interesting is that this is a biography that's meant for young and old, every normal Yid, and it's telling over this story about this casual conversation about Gilgulim. Like, we all know that there's such a thing as a Gilgul. The Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev, I'm going to tell you over a few Rambans quickly. The Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev, it says that Oinon didn't want to marry Tamar after Er died because he knew ki loy loy yehazara, that the offspring will not be his. Ramban brings in that Rashi said something about naming him after the mace. He says, I don't understand. What should he have against naming him after the mace? And this matter is a great secret from the secrets of the Torah about the science of Adam, about the nature of Adam. And it is noticeable to those people who have eyes that could see and ears that could hear. There's some teyeles that Yibam accomplishes for the brother, for the brother that died. Goes on to continue the rest of the paragraph. He never says what it is. He says this is a seid gadol miseidis hatayra, that it accomplishes some teyeles for the mace. There's a Ramban in Koheles, where it says on the pasuk dar haylech v'der ba, yesh la v'seinu b'pasuk hazeh, seid gadol v'nasedis hanechlalis b'chlal seid ha'ibur, that this pasuk of dar haylech v'der ba is a remnant to some very deep secret in the Torah. And one more Ramban, the Ramban in Iyov, Perek Lamed Gimel, it's the end of a long discussion about being, the Ramban says, he knew whom retires kushyas tzaddik v'ra'aloi. Iyov was bothered by the question of tzaddik v'ra'aloi, and Elihu and the other chaverim over there, the Ramban has gone through the psukim, explaining the psukim and shown how they've given him a satisfactory answer to the questions of tzaddik v'ra'aloi and Rasha v'tovloi. And he says, "V'hapsukim u'milei seihem ne'osim l'pirush ma'odu ma'irim alav hayroar shalema v'atayna ba'as v'atayna zemes." The pshat that I've learned with you in the psukim, it fits the psukim nicely. It answers the questions well enough. But v'imtach b'itz lahavin hasoid hanichbad. But if you want to really understand the soid hanichbad, and he writes a little poem about Lipcha Toshis Ladati Bikol Yesach. You have to pay very careful attention to me. Techazene Einecha HaMelech VaHakala. Let your eyes behold the Melech and the Kala, but Tetzapa LaGeula, and anticipate the Geula. Tiri Affirm to Amit Tzviya, and see the twins born from the gazelle. And that's all I have to say about it, the Ramban says. Now, with the Mefarshim, the Ramban explained that HaMelech v'HaKala, HaMelech, referring to Yehuda, and the Kala is Kalasai Tamar, meaning, he says, if you want to really understand the answer to the question of Tzadik v'Ra'aloi, so you have to look at the Mice of Yehuda v'Tamar, but Tetzapa l'Geula, right before the Geula, the anticipation of the Geula, right, because the Mashiach ben David is supposed to be Ben Paritzi, so look at when Peretz and Zerach come out, Vatira affirm Tamei Tzviya, those twins, meaning Peretz and Zerach. In other words, if you want the answer to Tzadik v'Ra'aloi, you'll find it, but he says it in the most, obscure terms, that there's a remez in the parasha of Yehuda and Tamar, meaning Yibam, that's the answer to the question of Tzadik v'Ra'aloi, meaning Gilgal. But the Ramban, in three places, refers to this Seid, but would never, meaning, he refers to it so that people that learned in yeshiva like he did, and they know that Moshe Rabbeinu heard at Har Sinai that there's an Indian that a neshama could be reincarnated in another person. So he's writing enough that then they'll understand that that's pshat in Yibum, and then they'll understand that that's pshat in Dar HaLech V'Dar Bar, and then they'll understand that that's pshat in Tzadik V'Ralai. But if you never learn from a Rebbe that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that that's the way Neshama's work, then you won't understand a single word of what he said. That's the way the Ramban writes the Sefer. But he writes it about an Inyan that my first grader knows about. Nowadays, everybody knows that Jews believe in Gilgal. It became such a widespread and widely known, you know, part of the Torah. And in the times of the Ramban, it was a Seyid Gadol Mesedes HaTorah. So the that contrast between, you know, these how we see it described again in that book, that there's nothing special about that book, but the Perei Derba, I just mentioned it because it ties into what we've been learning recently. But in contrast to the Ramban, you see how the Seder HaTorah have changed very much over the centuries. This is all sort of Derech HaKdama. What I want to do is take a Mishnah. For good measure, a Mishnah of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and learn together. But the way, and again, we're not really learning Sisei Torah, meaning not anything that regular Yidden don't feel comfortable with nowadays. But it definitely includes material that, at one time at least, was considered off limits, and it involves Kabbalah Dika and Yanim. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Which mission is it? Reb Shimon Omer. Stam Reb Shimon, by the way, in Mishnayis, when we read Reb Shimon, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Omer, this is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai talking. Shleisha she'achol al shulchan achav le'yamor olav divrei Torah, kilu achol mizivchei mesim. Three people eat together at one table, and they do not talk divrei Torah. It says, if they ate mizivchei mesim, that means from Karbanos of Avodah Zarah. Shenemar, quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, Kichol Shulchanos Mal'u Kitzaya B'li Makayim. The Navi Yeshaya describing how your tables are full of filth. Ki is vomit and Tzaya is excrement. And that's how the Tana describes, again, that's a pasuk describing Zivchei Mesim, and that's our description of a Suda without Divrei Torah. But if people eat together and they do talk in Tarekim, then it's as if they're eating at Hashem's table, meaning Karbanis, Meshulchan Gavayah. So that's the Mishnah. Rav Shimon bar Yochai writes, again, it's a simple teaching that could be appreciated by everybody, that when you come together at a table to eat a suda together, you should talk in Torah. And it's a great enhancement, but everybody can see that there's something here that begs for something more. What's this reference to the very sharp graphic reference to Ki Tzaya, and also conversely to the Shulchan Shel Makim? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, again, this is all mutter. Nobody suggests that we shouldn't learn the Reb Chaim Volozhiner's pirish on Avos. The Reb Chaim Volozhiner Avadu was a Mekubal. He was the Talmud of the Gra. The Gra was, one of the greatest Mekubalim of all time. And Chaim Volozhiner, his Nefesh HaChaim, is mostly quoting Zayars. But this is in his Ruach HaChaim, this is in his Pirush on Avos. He says the Pshat in this mission, but he begins by quoting from Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, of course, he's Kalkulei Kabbalah. Reb Chaim Vital is Talmud of the Arizal, but it's really more than a Talmud of the Arizal. You could almost say he's the mouthpiece of the Arizal. All the Torah that we have from the Arizal, we have from Reb Chaim Vital. The Arizal, the way they describe it is that it was like a fire that couldn't be contained. All of the Torah that he was Megala was within a 3-year space. When he lived most of his life, he didn't live very long, but he lived most of his years in Mitzrayim. And then he came to Tzvas, which was with the center, that was the center of Kabbalah at that time, and he arrived and he quickly became the Arisha Bechabura, and for 3 years he was exploding with Sisrei Torah, and he never wrote anything down. I think the Chidah writes that he couldn't slow himself down enough to write, so he was just teaching. and Talmidim were makabel as much as they could and put it through. The only thing that he did write, by the way, he wrote poetry. That we have in his own words. The Askinus Hadassah trilogy, that's the Arizal's own writing. But the Torah that we have from him is only from a Klisheni and mostly from Chaim Vital. That's the most typical makar for the Torah of Arizal. So Chaim Volozhiner quotes from Chaim Vital that he explained the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. That a person doesn't live by bread alone, by food alone. A person lives on moitza pi Hashem. So the pshutish al mikra means by listening to Hashem, by following the mitzvah of the Torah. But the Arizal taught, Rav Chaim Vital taught, that it means more than that. The pasuk didn't mean you have to eat food and you have to learn Torah or do the mitzvahs. The pasuk was talking about food. And the pasuk is telling us that lo yalechem levadoi, not just on the food part of the food, but ki al moitzaf pi Hashem, meaning, what's the origin of the food? Toitzei aret desha, right? There was a maimer in Briyas Olam that the earth should produce vegetation, which means that when the earth goes and produces vegetation, it's being mekayim, a maimer of Briya, meaning there's a dvar Hashem of toitzei aret desha that causes the food to grow. So the food contains physical substance and spiritual substance. Now again, this talk sounds like you know, deep mystical in Yanim, but I'm just getting it from Chaim Volozhiner. So this is mutter. We're not master this anymore, even if once upon a time they were. So the food has the physical component, and then there's the mitzvah pi Hashem in the food from Teitzei Aretz Desha. So the pasuk is saying, the pasuk is coming to answer a kasha. If a person stops eating, so what happens, right? If a person stops eating for a short time, so, you know, he has less energy, he gets sick. Eventually, if a person stops eating, he'll die. The pasuk has a kasha. What does dying mean? A person is alive, right? There's a remachi varab shesagidim. All those are still there after the person dies, but they just stop working. Why? Because the neshama left. So the difference between alive and dead is that a person that's alive has the guf and the neshama. When a person dies, his neshama leaves his guf. We said that if you stop eating bread, then you'll die. If you stop eating food, then you'll die. Meaning the food is what's mekayim the kesher between the neshama and the guf. In the absence of food, then there's no more kesher between the neshama and the guf. Frek the pasuk. Al malechem levada yichya adam. Bread, food is able to be mekayim a kesher. What shaychus does bread have with the neshama? So to that, the pasuk says, "No, I'll call mitzvah pi Hashem yichya ha'adam, because there's a mitzvah pi Hashem in the food, and when you eat the food, you're also ingesting the toitzei haaretz desha, the dvar Hashem in the food, the ruchnius tekechelak of the food, and so since the food has this kesher of ruchni and gashmi, so it's to be able to be mekasher in you the ruchni and the gashmi. That's how Rav Chaim Vital explained the pasuk of lo yalechem levada yichya ha'adam." Then Rav Chaim Volozhiner is moistif to that. He says, but the emes, so that's two chalakim of food. The emes is, there's a third chalak. Let's start like this. There's the Gemara in Yuma that talks about there's an agarata in the beginning of Yom Kippurim, Daf Ayin Dalet, Ayin Hey, about the mun. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Lechem Abirim Achal Ish, referring to the mun. And the Gemara says, the Gemara makes a drush, what does it mean? Lechem abirim, lechem shenivla be'ivarim. That the man was absorbed into their body, meaning there was no waste. The Gemara says that they never had to use the bathroom from eating the man. The Gemara even asked the Gemara Sakasha, but we know they went to the bathroom in the midbar. The pasuk says, so v'yaseh tiyelecha ala zeinecha. The pasuk refers to the bathroom. So how could you say that there was no excrement from the, there was no waste from the mon? So the Gemara answers, that's the food that they bought from the Knanim. And sometimes they were, you know, visiting peddlers that sold them food. They ate other food, and then all of a sudden they realized that it had a different effect on them. The Gemara says that on the mon there was no tzaya. What? Why not? Zok b'chaim v'lashon. The Eitz Hadas was referred to the Eitz Hadas Toivara. It's supposed to give you Das of Teva Ra. The Rambam asked a question, the Marin of Ruchem. Das Teva Ra would seem to be a good thing. How could it be that getting a good thing is an Aveira? Is the Rambam special. So Chaim Lashon writes that Das Teva Ra, the Lashon of Das, he says, is the Lashon of Iruv, of mixing together, of joining together. Vayeda Adam as Ishtai is the Lashon of joining together. Das Teva Ra is that the Teva and Ra, the result of this, of the fruits of this tree, was that the Teva and Ra become mixed together. That wherever there's Teva, there has to be Ra. And whereas previously there had been Teva and there had been Ra, there had been a Nachash that represented the Eitz Ra, but it wasn't internal. But the effect of the Eitz Das Teva Ra is that then the Teva and Ra became Me'urav inside the Adam. And that wasn't supposed to happen, and Adam, by doing that, that's what he brought about. Again, sounds a little bit like Sisrei Teira, Reb Chaim Volozhiner writing in his Pirush on Avos. So he says, and then Arura HaAdama BaAvuracha, the effects of the Eitz Hadas got carried over to the whole Bria, so that means that in the Adama also, in the vegetation, there was a law then of Das Teva Ra, that if there's Teiv, there has to be Ra. If there's a Dvar Hashem, a Maimar of Teitzah Aretz Desha in the vegetation, then there has to also be a Chelik HaRa in the vegetation. If there's a Chelik HaTeiv, which is good for us in a Ruchniistic way, that strengthens our Neshama, then there's also something in the food which has a Koyach HaRa and is bad for our Neshama. So there's the food, there's the Lachem Levadoi, which just, you know, keeps the blood flowing and the muscles contracting and etc. etc. Then there's the Devar Hashem, the Mitzah Pi Hashem, which is good for the neshama. But because of the law of Das Teva Ra, there's also a Koyach HaRa in the food, which is bad for the neshama. And when a person, and therefore there's an Avodas HaAchila in which a person has to try to see to it that the right forces have the upper hand in his achila, and that's why there's tzoya. The reason why there's a part of the food that's expelled is because there's a part of the food that's really ra for us, and that's what it means that lechem avir machal ish, that the man was nivla be'varim. There was no tzoya in the man, because over there that was straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was purely ruchni. So therefore, it didn't have this chelak, this koyach hara that was mixed in. That's what the Gemara means to say when it says that there were no bathrooms in the midbar. It means that the koyach hara that's present in every food is only present in natural food, but not in supernatural food, not in the mon. That's why there's such a strong hakapod that you're not allowed to be mahar b'divri Torah b'mavoyis hametunafos in a basic kisei. It's not stam because it's a lack of kavod derech eretz. It's because it's an opposite. The Torah represents an opposite force. So zok b'chaim v'lozhin. So let's come down to the Mishnah. Shlish la'achlu al shulchan echad. When people come together to eat, so there's a battle going on. There's an avoida of, right? There's a battle between the different koichos in the food, and there's an avoida of seeing to it that the proper koich is miskaber. Haloi koi divari ka'esh n'um Hashem. Divri Torah are like a fire. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, what that means is, in this context, that just like the esh al gabei mizbeach, that's the Mishnah's mashal. The Mishnah says that if they're amru divrei Torah, then it's ki'ilu achlu mishulchanei shel makom. So let's be makdim with that. What happens by a korban? He said, Rechaim Lishon writes a chiddush that the Gemara says by nivla be'evarim, that there's no waste from the man, is true by kodshim also, because the eish al gabei hamizbeach is the eish milamala. That's seref the ra of the food, even though it's different parts of the avada. You're not eating the part that was on the mizbeach. But the ish that's on the mizbeach, lagabe, the emurim, that's masakein, this behema. And then when the bailam go, or the kohanim go, and they eat the chelek, the lashon of the Gemara, at least lagabe, the kohanim, is mishulchan gavoya kazachu, that you're really getting it from the mizbeach, meaning the Mizbech, the Eish Shel Mala already was poil on the food, and now it's like Lechem Abirim. It's like Shemayim Dika food. So there's no waste. He says, that's why the Gemara, when the Gemara asked the Kasha in Yuma, we said it before, the Gemara asked the Kasha, Yosit Yilach Alayzanach, of course they had bathrooms in the Midbar. Why did the Gemara answer, right? So how can you say that there was no, that the moment never the Midbar? Why couldn't the Gemara answer that was from the Karbanis? We know they ate Karbanis in the Midbar. Basar Taiva, yes, there's a mandam that they didn't eat. But Basar Kodshim, Avada they ate. Why did the Gemara have to come on to what they bore from the Kananim? Zakar B'chayv Elanjah, the Terrace is because Basar Kodshim is also Nivel Beivarim. Because the Eish of the Mizbeach is Seyref the Ra, and then it becomes like Lechem Abirim. What Rav Shimrei Choy is being Megala in this Mishnah is that Halakoy Dvari Ka'esh Num Hashem. So the Divri Torah are also Seyref the Ra in the food. And it's misaking the food the same way that they, or maybe not to the same extent, but just like Mishulchan Shel Makayim, there's no more ra in the food, it'll be Nivela Be'evarim, there's not going to be any Tzaya. So too, if a person accompanies his food with Divrei Torah, it'll have the same effect. So therefore, if they were Amrul of Divrei Torah, then it's Hilu Achlu Mishulchan Shel Makayim. And if Chas V'Shalom Faker, like Amrul of Divrei Torah, so he's moisif. He has a little bit of an arichas about Rabbi Dezara. He says that there's a very strange gemara in Sanhedrin where it says that the Rabbi Dezara Baal Pa'ar was avodasa b'hatraza. The whole ceremony over there had to do with the waste from the body. It says there the avoda of Rabbi Dezara is to take the animal and by being makrovit to the koiches hara, meaning cause the koiches hara in the food to be misgaber on, to be machlish the koiches hatoiv, and that way they feel that they're being moisif koyach to their side, right? If they're battling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so by bringing their karbanis, their zivchei mesim, they're being moisif koyach to their side because they're taking away from the effect that the koiches hatoiv have in the bria, in the vegetation, in the food, in the animals. It's a battle about the avodas ha'achila, and therefore their kabanos. The pasuk in Yeshaya was not stama molitza ba'alma kol shulchanos molu kitzaya. That's what's left. The zivchei mesim, the kabanos of the avodas zara, are mamish turning the food into kitzaya. So what Shimon Chai is teaching us in this mission is that even though you're just sitting down with a bunch of friends, you're on meal plan and you're having a regular lunch, it's not a korban from the mizbeach, and it's not chas v'shalom offering up from some pagan worship, but the same battle is going on. There's an avodas ha'achila, and he says that the divrei Torah is really just a mashal. It's not just divrei Torah. The Rav Chaim Elanjah speaks out. It's the reasons why you're eating. It's the brachas, the saying the brachas, how you say the brachas. But if there's an avoidus ha'achila, and your achila is one of koi dvar ka'eshna Hashem, then you're being misaking the food, you're being magbir, the koiches hakadusha of the food, onto the koiches hara, and the meal of that food is the mitzvah pi Hashem is amplified, and it has a stronger effect on your neshama, and it's going to give you more kedusha, more siyata d'shmaya in your avodas Hashem. And if chas v'shalom fakeret v'loy amru lav divrei Torah, meaning, and more broadly, if it's just purely for the taiva, not at all to give you koyach to serve Hashem, if it's without brachas chas v'shalom, or like the brachas that I too often make, that you don't know if you did say the bracha, you didn't say the bracha, or which bracha you should say, and how many times you said the bracha. So then, if it's an achila that's totally devoid of any avodas Hashem in the achila, then the koiches hara in the food are oila over the koiches hatoiv. It becomes more like the zivchei mesim, and that food ends up being an impediment to your avodas Hashem. If you have sheifas for steiging in avodas Hashem, so you can make it easier for yourself, you can make it harder for yourself. And part of how you go about doing that is how you treat your food, how you treat your achila. The shleisha she'achlu, if they make it into achila of an avodas Hashem, then it becomes shochan shel makom, and it's magbir there. Their koiches hakedusha, and if chas v'shalom fakeret, then it becomes ilu zivchei mesim, and it's machlish the koiches hakedusha. So that's, again, very much not the Pashut Pshat, not the, how we would necessarily learn the Mishnah on our own, but some of the Sisrei Torah that Rav Chaim Volozhin says are included in this Mishnah, which, again, V'inyana D'yoma, it's Rav Shimon, Arizal said that the Elisa Lamakam Shavisa Shevi, the treasure that Rav Shimon brought down, was to some extent Rav Shimon Reichoy.